Welcome, welcome to the best 5 minute wine podcast with Forrest Kelly.
I've always said I could eat pizza every day. And for a couple of months, I actually did. Back when I was living in the Seattle area, I was insulating new homes, working 12 to 14 hours a day. Every night on my way home, I'd swing by a place called Alfie's Pizza and grab a pepperoni pizza to go. Same order, night after night, 2 months straight. I was basically on a first-name basis with a delivery box. That's how deep my love for pizza runs. But here's the thing. Pizza doesn't live alone. It's a perfect partner to wine. Pizza is like wine's best friend. Pepperoni with a bold Chianti. Margarita with a crisp Sauvignon Blanc. Meat lovers with a Zinfandel. Suddenly, your Friday night takeout feels like a fancy Italian date. So today, we're talking with Erica to dig into slices, stories, and sips that make pizza and wine irresistible.
Hi, I'm Erica D'Arcangelo, and I'm the author of A Story About Pizza. Well, you know, I grew up in pizza, and I was born into a pizzeria, quite literally. My grandfather was an Italian immigrant, and he worked in the coal mines, and this is a lot of what my book is about, is his story of his life. He was pulled out of school at 11 years old, and he decided that he had this dream of making pizza, but he didn't know how he was going to get there. So he opened up a pizzeria in 1960. My father was born around 1960, and basically has been there his whole life, and our whole family was born into this pizzeria, and we really had it in our family, and we still have it today. So it's a little town called Wimber, PA, and it's named after the Berwyn White coal mines. And so in the 1900s, a lot of immigrants came over from Italy and all parts of the world, and they worked in the coal mines, and they lived in this little town called Wimber. Even in our pizzeria, we have a lot of the old coal mining things that my grandfather owned. So D'Arc's Pizza started in 1960, and he actually started it a little bit before that because he opened an Italian market. And he bought a building that was owned by Berwyn White, and it was an old Eureka store. And he and my grandmother sold different, you know, pastas and tomato sauce and just different, you know, market items that people from the town would go in there and they would get. And then one day he and my grandmother and their friend were talking, and they decided to start making pizza because this was always my grandfather's dream, was to make pizza and to leave something for his family so that none of us had to go work in the coal mines. Oh, the pizza's amazing. It's still my favorite pizza to this day. Well, you know, my family's from Abruzzo, Italy. And so I think from watching his family, and we are very lucky to have very talented cooks and bakers in our family. So my grandfather was really, you know, making pizza, and then he would make homemade hot sausage and meatball sandwiches and rolls from La Monica's, which was the local bakery. And so he just was a really, really good cook. And my grandmother was from, her family was from a small village in Italy right by Abruzzo called Chieti. And it was a very similar situation. So, you know, my grandfather and grandmother were both very gifted at cooking and baking. And then also their parents were, or at least his mother was very, very good cook.
Fast forward to now, what made you want to center your life and your work and things around pizza?
So I've had a marketing career for over 20 years. And, you know, I was really in a driven, stressful, type A situation where I was really working a lot. Really what ended up happening is that, you know, my dad ended up getting sick a few years ago. So what I did was I told my husband and my daughter at the time, I said, we're going to go home. You know, we're going to move back to Pennsylvania for a year. I really felt like my parents needed help. My dad had just got out of heart surgery, and I went home and my dad was recovering and he really wasn't doing well physically. And I thought, you know what? He needs to get out of the house. And so I said to my dad, hey, let's go to the shop a few hours a week and, you know, I'll do your marketing for free. And, you know, I actually was very burnt out with marketing at that point in time. But I was like, I'm going to help my dad. This is something that I can do. You know, I feel like, you know, I'm just going to help him out, even though I really at this point don't want to do marketing for anyone. I just want to take a break. So we started driving there and my dad started me telling me all the stories about, you know, our family and my grandfather. And we would get there and I really saw him come alive. He started talking to all the customers and it was really helping him to heal from the surgery. And he even decided he was going to restore the 1905 building and make it look like it looked at the beginning and hang pictures of all the family members. And I was you know, filming content, and we had this whole thing we were doing together, and it was really special. And I decided that I was going to write a book about my grandfather's journey and about the pizzeria, just because for me, walking in there wasn't just like walking into a pizzeria. Like, you walk in and you feel the presence of your family, and it's so nostalgic, and there's so many memories, and so many people from the town come in, and it's just like a very special place.
Pizza and wine, two timeless comforts, both rooted in tradition, both crafted with care. One brings people together around the table, the other fills the glass that makes those gatherings unforgettable. When we talk about pizza, we talk about heritage. Family recipes passed down, ovens fired up, and generations sharing a dream. And to share those dreams with others takes a little marketing, but not everybody is always welcoming to marketing ideas.
So it was really interesting because my dad was very grumpy, and I was like, hey, I'm going to help you with your marketing. And he said, I don't believe in marketing. And so I kind of laughed. I was like, okay, no problem. Let's just go in together. You talk to the customers. So I started doing the marketing, and, you know, we started with, you know, website and the Google search and Instagram and Facebook. And I started filming TikTok videos, and I was like, okay, I'm just going to start filming, like, maybe cutting pizzas. I had tried a few other things. Woke up one day, had 1 million views on TikTok, and all of his stuff started going viral. So in a matter of 4 years, we quadrupled the business, and we had videos, like our biggest video on TikTok has 64 million views. And then on Instagram, @pizza decided to collaborate with us on a bunch of pizza cutting videos. So the place started getting so busy and just packed, lines out the door. And so it was very cool to see the growth of that. Whereas my dad was like, at first, I don't believe in marketing. Now he's like, hey, use me for a reference. You know, I believe in marketing now.
His generation or what have you thinks of marketing as a kind of a used car salesman. Dad, you greeting the customers with a smile on your face and talking and asking about them, that's marketing.
Yes, there's so many facets to marketing.
During that period when you saw your social media growing, were you sharing that with him, or were you kind of holding back going, I want him to kind of realize that, whoa, what are you doing?
No, I was screenshotting it and I was, you know, showing him, and he was so excited. And then I was like, before we had gone viral, I was just running some local ads on Facebook, and it was so funny because I went in there one day and he was like, don't run any ads. And his staff were like, please don't run an ad. We can't handle it. Like, it's too busy. Like, you can't run any ads. And so, like, even now they're like, no ads. Don't run any ads.
Oh, that's funny. So his health, it just had to improve. You could probably see the progress.
Absolutely. I mean, it was a few years after he retired. And I really believe that any person, whether they're retired or whatever their situation is, it's really good for them to have some type of a purpose. And so getting him back in there, it really renewed his purpose. And now he works in there all 4 days that it's open. And he also does additional work. Like, he was the superintendent of schools. So he still goes and he does superintendent jobs, and he does interim jobs, and he finds superintendents. So this has really changed his life and gotten him really productive.
Do you ever feel like sending him an invoice over those 4 years, a marketing invoice?
You know, my parents have done so much for me.
Yeah,
my mom has a jam company, and I do all her marketing for her jam company. And I just, it makes me so happy to see them doing well and being busy at their age and just, you know, being productive and having goals. And it's just really lovely what they both do.
They love you regardless of whatever you're doing, but it is nice to be able to say, hey, mom and dad, you help create who I am now. And then for you to be able to flex a little bit and show that, hey, I've got some skills here too. And we're working together, and look what we've become.
Well, yeah, and there's 5 kids, so I really just need to, like, be in the running to be the favorite. So that's.
I think you're gonna place top 3.
Yeah, I hope so.
We continue our conversation with Erica, author of A Story About Pizza, how she turns her Italian heritage and a love for pizza into the best-selling children's book series, and now My Big Loud Italian Christmas. Let's hear how it unfolds. So you got the great success story with your dad and the marketing of the family business, and then you decided to do a book.
Yeah, so, you know, the first book is A Story About Pizza, and that book became an Amazon bestseller in 3 categories, and it goes through and it tells the story story of, you know, my grandfather, an Italian immigrant who had this dream of opening a pizzeria. And once I finished that book, one of my best friends actually gave me the idea to launch a children's series about Italian culture and pizza. And so we had the first book called Pietro's Pizza that came out on National Pizza Day, which I think is February 9th. And then the second book called Pietro's Pizza Toppings came out on July 24th, which was my father's birthday. And we actually have one, it's Pietro's Italian Christmas, and it comes out on October 1st. And it's a holiday book, but it talks about the seven fish dinner that we had growing up my whole life on Christmas Eve and just from a child's viewpoint.
Pietro in Italian means what?
Pietro in Italian means Pete or Peter, which was my grandfather's Peter Emery D'Arcangelo Sr. And then my father is Peter Emery D'Arcangelo also.
The children's book, was that difficult to put together as an adult?
It was quite beautiful. I have a lot of nieces and nephews, and I am very lucky to spend a lot of time with them. So I made the children's books very simple. I ended up finding an illustrator who hand drew all the illustrations, which were absolutely amazing. And every book is just really special, and they're just really, really fun to do. And then I'm launching another series. It's a novel, but the first one's called My Big Loud Italian Christmas, but it's going to be a series of books about growing up Italian and cultural things, and even information about, you know, Italy and food and wine and experiences and all that kind of stuff.
Well, what's it called again?
My Big Loud Italian Christmas.
Big Loud Italian Christmas. So I've never been around Italians, but I see them in the movies, and obviously that's not totally true. So when you say loud, how does that manifest itself?
So the way that I grew up is that every Christmas Eve, we had Christmas Eve at our pizza place, and we had about 50 to 60 people at the table. Everyone was very loud and celebrating and happy and drinking wine and eating. And I remember being this, you know, sarcastic, cynical teenager who was like, why are we doing this? Yeah. And as I grew up, you know, I appreciated it so much. Now, as an adult, my family, we still have that same tradition, and I look forward to it, and I cherish it so much. But it's kind of going through this situation where, you know, as a teenager, as even like, you know, a child, where you're like, well, why are we doing this, and why do we celebrate like this, and why is everyone so loud, and what's happening here?
Is there kind of a stereotype that you would say is wrong when people think about Italians?
Yeah, I don't know that it's wrong, because I grew up in that. So, you know, we had a very boisterous, loud, but loving and caring and hardworking and loyal family. So it was definitely something, you know, we grew up with like family's everything, blood's thicker than water. You had a problem, you squashed it. And that was the way that we were brought up. And we definitely learned about, you know, the value of loyalty and really loving your family and also doing the right thing and standing up for yourself. And I think that was just a matter of like my grandfather, he had a really strong character and he had really strong values, and he passed that down to my father and to us. And I always appreciate that.
In part four of our conversation with Erica, we'll find out the secret to a great pizza dough.
So the key, I think, is to get really the light, airy, crispy dough. With the sauce, I would say just get a very high quality sauce and keep it simple.
When you think about Italy, what comes to mind? Probably think about pizza, wine, maybe a few loud family arguments about both. Well, in talking with Erica, the author of A Story About Pizza, she gives us some secrets behind great pizza dough and why wine belongs at every table and why Italians seem to be born with both a rolling pin and a corkscrew in hand. Let's find out what happens when passion flower and a little Lambrusco come together.
Well, it really depends on what type of dough that you make. You know, you can make an instant dough with like yeast and flour and water and make a fresh dough. And then lately, you know, I've been doing a lot of sourdough. So sourdough has a process where it's proofed and it's refrigerated. So the key, I think, is to get really the light, airy, crispy dough. With a sauce, I would say just get a very high quality sauce and keep it simple. Like Bianco di Napoli is a really nice sauce. It's a very good. Red Path makes a nice sauce, but something that you don't really have to put a lot of spices, maybe some fresh basil. And then for cheese, of course you want Parmesan cheese. mozzarella cheese, but there's so many different pizzas these days and so many people trying different recipes, which is what I really love about the pizza industry. Is it's really become so much of an artisan creative industry with all these different flavors and combinations, and it's just very beautiful.
I heard I was watching the Food Channel one time and they said traditional Italians don't put the sauce on the dough. They put it after the cheese goes on because they don't want the sauce making the dough soggy. Is that a thing, or are you just making stuff up?
You know, that is one type of pizza that people will make. I really personally love a thin New York pizza, which is, you know, you put the sauce on first and you put the cheese, you use a low moisture mozzarella and it's nice and thin and crispy. But there are pizzas where, you know, the sauce is put on after, or, you know, you put the cheese first and then you put the sauce, and those are also very delicious pizzas. I'm one of those people that if you put a pizza in front of me, I'm going to be happy. I don't care which kind it is. I mean, don't give me pineapple, but otherwise, I'm going to be happy.
Do you think pizza is more of an art or a science?
I think it's a combination of both. I would say 50-50, because you have to use the science part to really get your dough recipe perfect. And so many people who have pizzerias, they have everything measured. They have the dough and the sauce and the cheese and all measured. But a good pizza, the reason why it's good is because it is art and it is made with love.
So in that process there, where do you see that most people leave a part out? Is it that the oven isn't hot enough, or they cook it too long? What would you say?
I think sometimes, depending on the oven you have, if the oven isn't hot enough, that can be an issue. The other thing is just really the dough. The dough sometimes is the most tricky part. I would say the dough and then maybe the cooking of it.
Where do you see wine in the whole pizza scheme? Obviously, you were saying that early in your childhood that the families gathered together drinking wine and having the pizza.
Absolutely. I mean, in the early days of the pizzeria, and I actually was just speaking to my dad about this because the pizzeria just celebrated their 65th year in business. And he said that, you know, the family members would get together and the people in the local neighborhood and they would make wine. Now, regarding the wine that I really love and that we serve, I don't really drink a lot of wine, but my family's pizzeria, our house wine is the Montepulciano d'Abruzzo. And I really love that because it's just very sentimental to me. My grandfather loved it, but we also have Lambrusco Frizzante, which is an amazing wine. And we had that when we went to Italy, and it's something that, you know, we have often. It's a red wine, but it's like it has bubbles, and it's actually so delicious. I had it for the first time in Parma, Italy, and it was incredible.
Wow. So what were you doing in Parma?
My dad, he actually took our whole family there many years ago, and then we really became kind of addicted to going to Italy, and my dad's been there 35 times. In fact, he's getting his citizenship right now, so he spent the better part of the last year living there. And we just have gone, and we have cousins that live in Abruzzo, so we go and we visit our family, and we've traveled around, and it's really been so amazing just, you know, eating, drinking wine, and experiencing the culture.
Oh, I agree. The culture is the key. Pizza fills the plate, wine fills the glass, and together they fill the soul. When you think about Italy, what comes to mind? Probably think about pizza, wine, maybe a few loud family arguments about both. Well, in talking with Erica, the author of A Story About Pizza, she gives us some secrets behind great pizza dough and why wine belongs at every table and why Italians seem to be born with both a rolling pin and a corkscrew in hand. Let's find out what happens when passion flower and a little Lambrusco come together.
So I love the fashion and the way that people dress in the shoes in Italy. That's one thing that when I go there, I will try not to pack hardly anything, because my goal is when I go there to go shopping, just because I love all the clothes and the shoes and just the style there. So a Neapolitan pizza is like, it's a certain type of pizza that is, it's from Naples, and it has kind of like a pillowy, like a puffy crust, and it has different, like almost like leopard spots, because it's cooked in an oven that's like very hot, and it only has to cook for a few minutes. New York thin.
And you like the thin because you can eat more?
I love how it, oh yeah, you can eat more. I love that it's thin and crispy, and almost every place you go, the style is the same, but the taste can be different depending on the sauce and the cheese. So I just, I love it. It's my jam. I get that almost anywhere that I go.
Yeah. I kind of go through phases too. I like the thin for a while and then one slice of deep dish. Oh yeah. Then you go into a food coma. Cold pizza for breakfast? Yes or no?
Yes.
And then what one topping will you defend to your grave?
Hot peppers.
Hot peppers. Wow. And then a topping that should never be allowed on a pizza.
Ham and pineapple.
I agree with that. Huh? I like pineapple, but no.
Yeah.
Not hot. I don't like it hot. Fold it, knife and fork, or the traditional way? Just eat it from the pointed end. What's the right
way? I say fold it if you're in New York. And if you're in Italy, maybe a knife and fork.
Really? So that's a thing, that knife and fork.
Yeah, in some places, because you get the whole pizza in Italy and then you get the knife and the fork. But, you know, if I'm on the streets of New York and I'm eating a New York slice, I'm folding that thing.
If pizza styles were wine varietals, which would be the bold Cabernet?
Oh, my gosh. Let's see here. Bold Cabernet. I think it's the Montepulciano di Abruzzo, because that's a red wine and it's a very dry taste.
What's your perfect wine pairing with pizza?
My perfect wine pairing is Lambrusco Frizzante. That, I will tell you, those are the only main two wines that I drink.
Every wine has a story in the bottle. Is there a story behind the pizza?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the story is my grandfather's journey, you know, from the coal mines, you know, being an Italian immigrant and really having this dream and never giving up on this dream. None of it was handed to him. And he really did this so that we wouldn't have to work in the coal mines and that he had something to pass down to his family, because family was everything to him.
So if there was one thing that he could, if he was watching today, what do you think he would be the most proud of you, of the business?
I think he would be the most proud that the pizzeria is still open and really all the attention and, you know, everything that we've been able to do to promote the pizzeria. I think that, you know, this little pizzeria that he started to help with the local town and to contribute something is now really known nationally. So I think he would be very, very proud that our family is all still involved.
Wonderful, wonderful. If on a date night, what would be a good wine pairing?
I would say a traditional margarita pizza with fresh tomatoes and basil. And if you would pair that with Lambrusco Frizzante, I think that would be a beautiful wine and food pairing. You can purchase any of my books through Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Target, Walmart, anywhere you can buy books online. If you search for A Story About Pizza or Pietro's Pizza, you'll be able to find those books. Or if you go to astoryaboutpizza.com. Awesome. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure. And here's some, as we say goodbye, let's pick up some trivia here, some pizza and wine trivia. The first pizza delivery ever recorded was made for a queen in 1889. There are more grape varieties on Earth than there are Starbucks stores, and the average pizza travels about 7,000 miles from farm to plate. And the world's oldest known winery dates back 6,000 years to Armenia. Italy has over 34,000 pizzerias, and about 70% of wine in the world is still made by family businesses. There you go. That's proof that passion, like pizza dough, rises best when you keep it in the family. So pour another glass, grab another slice, and remember, every good story starts with one of the two.
You spend time with your family?
Sure I do.
Good. Because a man that doesn't spend time with his family can never be a real man.
The Best 5 Minute One Podcast.
Don't forget my favorite part.
Please, please, like and follow. Oh.